There is life, Captain, but not as we know it. This is quite incredible, the records that get to number one these days. But fortunately, there is an alternative. This is that alternative, Clockwork Wireless, 90 FM. Indeed, is all Clockwork Wireless. Terence Anthony Anderson here with you. One Take Anderson, they call me. The American political scene gets grubbier as their presidential election gets closer, you may have noticed, and this week there have been rumours that Vice President George Bush has been having an affair. Perhaps that's why they call him Vice President. I don't know. Could be. But if the allegations are proved true, George Bush will join Gary Hart as one of the two men with a big future behind them. And also in the news this week, I see that the Pope has been granting an audience to the Austrian president, Kurt Waldheim. And there's been a bit of a brouhaha about this because Mr. Waldheim was a prominent member of the Nazi regime in the Second World War. And some say that he shouldn't really have been admitted to the Vatican at all. So I suppose the Pope could always say that he was only following holy orders. And also in the news this week, you've probably read that Madonna's husband, Sean Penn, has been sent to prison Actually, I didn't think his last film was that bad. My favourite quote of the week, though, comes from Stephen Moon, which is a name in itself. He's the former leader of the Conservative grouping on Camden Council, who has left the Tories to join the SDP. And he said, "The most I can be accused of is that I'm a rat joining a sinking ship." Not so much a ship, more a canoe, perhaps. Coming up tonight, music from, amongst others, Peter Gabriel, his new single, The Police, and Howard Jones. And one weird track, only one. We return to our short series of American shock jocks. This week, The Grease Man makes his return. Some moments from TV and radio when things went haywire. A bit like this programme, really. And we have a write-in competition where you can win an album of your choice and a copy of the Weekly World News. More about that later. A lot to jam in before we enter the bizarre world of the intrepid Birdman. That's a bit later on. Well, you've probably noticed, before we go on, you've probably noticed that since British Telecom was privatised, all sorts of phone-in services have become available. For example, were you to dial 0055 0055 at a cost of only several hundred pounds, you could be through to Talk About, where you phone in and you hear one bloke saying, "Hello, John, where's Brian tonight?" And the other chap says, "He's out getting a new exhaust for his motor, mate." And this goes on all day and night. And as I say, it's only at a cost of several hundred pounds to you to be available with this service. Also, there are numbers now that you can dial to hear things like Saucy Susie's Naughty Secrets and so on. And I thought perhaps we'll dial one of those one week and relay it over the air and see what that's like. So I haven't actually phoned it yet. Really, you must believe me. But I noticed during the week that you can now dial into a health line where a recorded voice gives you an instant diagnosis. And I saw in their list of complaints that one could ring in to get advice on, there was one called Coping with Lethargy. But I couldn't summon up the energy to phone that one. And another one, closer to home here, another one was for people who had trouble with their ears. But when I rang that one, I couldn't hear what they were saying. It gets worse. But finally, I noticed that... worry about this one. I noticed that you can get advice for premature ejaculation, but apparently that one's a rip-off. You ring up, but the call only lasts a few seconds, and then it's all over. Why should I mind? Clockwork Wireless at 90 FM, Terry Anderson here. Let me tell you our address. You'll need it for our little competition coming up a bit later, if for nothing else. We'd like to hear from you this week. Address for Clockwork Wireless is Clockwork Wireless, Suite 14, Creasy House, that's C-R-E-A-S-Y, Creasy House, Tower Bridge Road, London. And the postcode is SE14SL. Clockwork Wireless, Suite 14, Creasy House, Tower Bridge Road, London, SE14SL. And I'll give you the address again a bit later on in conjunction with that competition. Now, watching the TV coverage of Wimbledon, one of the most fascinating aspects has been watching the body language of Harry Carpenter, who has been the anchorman of the broadcast. It's worth turning the sound down, actually, and just watching as Harry incessantly shuffles and reshuffles the script in front of him, and as he does his piece to camera. Then he twirls his pen for a moment before returning to shuffle his papers. It's absolutely marvellous stuff. And Harry Carpenter also has this way of speaking, leaving gaps between his words at random in the middle of a sentence for no apparent reason at all. Absolutely marvellous. It's well worth tuning into Wimbledon just for this. He's a fine fellow, though, Harry Carpenter, and a golf enthusiast, so he must be okay. Howard, I think we've got the gist of your argument there. Now, definitely the weirdest story of the week for me is the news that Hollywood has come up with the idea of making a movie based on the life of Mrs. Thatcher, which is a sort of an Evil Dead 3, really. Extraordinary idea when you think about it. This film's got a £20 million budget, and it's being made by the Lorimar Studio, who do Dallas and Dynasty and those sort of things. And a spokesman from the Lorimar Studio said this week that it was going to do for Britain what Evita did for Argentina, which I'm not quite sure what they mean by that. But I see that the American actress Lee Remick is tipped to land the part of Mrs. Thatcher. Quite extraordinary, really. And in a marvellous little piece in The Guardian this week, they took the whole thing a little bit further and came up with a cast listing for some of the other roles to be played in the movie. And apart from Margaret Thatcher being played by Lee Remick, they suggested that the part of Dennis Thatcher could be played by Jack Nicholson. Perhaps Madonna could step into the role of Carol Thatcher with Sean Penn perhaps playing Mark Thatcher, they suggest, although he'd have to get parole, I suppose, for that. Sean Penn in the penitentiary. Edward Heath, they suggest, could be played by Marlon Brando, an excellent piece of casting. And perhaps, how about Leslie Grantham, Dirty Den, as, of course, Norman Tebbit. Nigel Lawson, his role taken by Oliver Reed. And, naturally, Michael Heseltine, they propose, will be played by Christopher Reeve, Superman. And in a marvellous little in-joke, they suggest Peter Walker to be played by David Trelfall, and for all John Mortimer fans there. And again, a superb idea, John Selwyn Gummer. Well, he could only be played by Elton John, and Edwina Curry, of course, Joan Collins. Just a few more here. I won't read the lot. Neil Kinnock, they suggest Woody Allen for his part. Again, typecasting there. And Glenys Kinnock, well, of course, Julie Walters. with Julie Andrews playing the part of the Queen, Bob Hoskins as Mikhail Gorbachev, Stephanie Beecham as Raisa Gorbachev, and my favourite of all, Nancy Reagan, the part of Nancy Reagan, to be played by Bonnie Langford. And quite literally, perhaps the most craziest bit of all is that Ronald Reagan is apparently agreeing to play himself in this role. But apart from the Guardian bit there, I actually thought myself of some other additions to the cast list. How about Roger Moore taking the part of David Owen? While, of course, David Steele's part could go perhaps to Alid Jones, I thought. Just a couple more. Demis Roussos, of course, would be perfect to play the role of Prince Philip. And finally, to take on the character of Sir Geoffrey Howe, step forward, please, Ian McGaskill, the weatherman. He could stroll on and say, "Hello." And everyone would say, "He's a funny old bloke, isn't he?" Just as they do with Sir Geoffrey Howe, really, I suppose. It's Clock Clock Wireless, it's 90 FM, and here's Peter Gabriel's new single. It's coming out next week. This is the Chernobyl mix of Red Rain.
Buried in a
That's Peter Gabriel from his album So, and the new single Red Rain. And he's been appearing live in London during the weekend, a very good concert it's been, apparently. I didn't go myself. Clockwork Wireless, Suite 14, Creasy House, Tower Bridge Road, London, SE14SL is our address. Got a competition coming up in a little while. A couple of people who wrote to us this week, there was James Cookson of North End Road, Fulham. And let's just give a quick mention to Simon Grigg of Bath Road, Hounslow. And he asked us to play something for everyone who's been taking exams recently. I gather they're just coming to an end. But if you'd like to have your name mentioned on this programme or on the Birdman programme, then all you have to do is write to that address and we'd be pleased to hear from you. And as I say, we've got a competition coming up in a few moments and I'll give you the address very quickly again then. Now, we've been running a short series of examples from America of shock jocks. And if you haven't been listening before, if you're new to us this week, I better just explain to you that these are outrageous chaps on radio stations, mainly on the east coast of America. And we return tonight to the warped mind of the Grease Man. And in case you didn't hear the example of the Grease Man show that we played a few weeks ago, let me explain that this guy presents a breakfast show and it's syndicated to several stations from New York to Washington, around that sort of area, the east of America. Of course, he does the program live and he's just rattling away a normal sort of breakfast show and then suddenly decides to relate a story, an anecdote perhaps from his past, and he's armed only with a rack of sound effects and a quick mind. Anyway, hear for yourself as we join a recent breakfast show with the Grease Man.
It's 18 minutes after 8 at DC 101 with the Grease Man there. I think I'll go home, go to bed today, gear up for the concert tonight, get some good sleep. Didn't sleep too much last night, a little noisy. Well, you know, I don't sleep long. I sleep in shifts. I sleep in the daytime, and then I sleep in the nighttime. And sleeping in the daytime is a drag sometimes because people are noisy in the daytime. You know, I try to sleep about 2 o'clock in the afternoon till about 6 and rest up. And people are always outside, you know, cutting grass, running lawnmowers. Jeez, it was worse in Florida. Down there, everybody was big with those model airplanes, you know, those kind with the remote control. And there I am trying to sleep, and all afternoon I'm hearing... Now, these people are doing loop-de-loops with their figure eight aeroplanes, and it started to bug me. I mean, it really started to bug me. It started to make me mad. I talked to them about it one time, but they said, hey, what are we supposed to do? Do it at your convenience or at our convenience? We're not disturbing the peace. It's too... I said, all right. And I got my four-wheel drive, and I left. And I called a buddy of mine, and I got my own plane made up. With a 22 caliber gun mounted on it. I painted it black. And I put foreboding looking red crosses on the wings. And I know it was illegal, but I had a super powerful radio transmitter to control this plane. And I waited until those maggots got out in the field. These guys love their planes. They live for their planes. You ever seen one of those clubs? Those people have those remote control planes? They spend thousands of dollars on those planes. They're expensive. And they're always real careful with them. They land them like real planes. Oh, they're just so wonderful. So I took my plane out, and I got in the woods with it. And I took out my binoculars, and I watched. I watched until all their planes were airborne. And then I launched my plane, my special plane. Sure enough, I flew it to where their planes were. I got my plane in position right behind one of theirs, and I opened fire. Direct hit. The plane spiraled. A little plume of black smoke came out of the gas tank, and then... They were flabbergasted. They started looking all around. They wondered, where's this plane coming from, and who's controlling it? But they couldn't see me because I was in the woods with my extra-powerful radio transmitter. These maggots. $2,000 worth of aeroplane lying on the ground. The guy ran over to his plane. He was whimpering. Oh, God! Who did this? Who did this? The other guys were trying frantically to land their planes and get out of there, but it was too late because my plane was too big, too fast, and too deadly. After a while, I really got to enjoy it. I got to enjoy the destruction. I was sitting sitting there in the woods with spittle coming out of my lips as I tracked down those planes. The last plane was landing. I couldn't turn around fast enough. The guy picked it up, threw it in the trunk of his car, and he took off. But by this time, I wasn't stopping at just the planes. I wanted butt. I wanted a piece of their butt. And as he drove away, I moved in with my black ace. Another direct hit on the gas tank. I hit the button for the plane to return, and it wouldn't come back. It just kept flying around. I hit the button for the plane. It still kept going, and then slowly it turned of its own volition. I hit the button for it to decrease altitude, and it increased altitude. And then it started coming straight for me. I hit the stop. I hit the auto destruct. Nothing. The controls were dead in my hand. It was then that I realized that I could no longer control the plane. It swooped in low and made a diving run at me! Fortunately, I dove into some bushes and I didn't get hit. It was then that I realized the plane had a mind of its own! It was a plane of death! Completely out of control! I looked around. The air seemed cold. I could see my breath. I started to run, but the plane wouldn't turn me loose. Oh, no! The plane was right behind me. No! No! Damien! Damien! I found where I parked my van, and I climbed inside that thing. I took off, watching the rearview mirror frantically. I didn't see the plane. Maybe I'd lost it. Maybe somehow I'd lost the plane. Maybe somehow I'd gotten away from it. But then I saw it. It appeared behind me. I could see in the hot heat from the highway, the plane coming closer and closer. I tried to duck down as the plane made a low pass over my van. It shot out the back window. I strove for control. I had to get near some people. I had to get in public. I had to get away. When all of a sudden, I lost control of my car completely. Unfortunately, I couldn't find the sound effect, so I couldn't make the noise of the car crash. He was a disc jockey Borhog in a long story with no way out. But somehow, he had to get out because he's on the air, and he knows full well that somehow he's got to get back into music after telling a long story about blowing planes out of the sky. But how? What does he do? Does he have one final explosion with a plane self-destructs? Does he have Damien suddenly realize that he doesn't want to blow this man away because then it won't be any more Damien story? Or does he simply hit some commercials and say the heck with it? What does he do? What does a boss jock do when he's trapped in a story with no way out? When he's trapped with a live microphone and a cart rack full of sound effects? Damien! Get me out of this story, Damien! Damien! I know what he does. He looks around frantically. He knows he's got sounds of everything in the book. He's a boss jock. He's quick on his feet. He decides, rather than get stuck, he'll take a trip south of the border. And maybe he can hide out in Mexico, where people will forget about the story. The story he started and couldn't finish. The story without a punchline. But no, that'll never do, because people won't have it. People won't have it. They demand an end. They demand a punchline. And that was our man's dilemma. How to get out when he's already started slinging lead, he's gotten into Damien, and now he's south of the border. I don't know. Maybe he calls on help from a buddy of his. Maybe he calls on the man who's chain smokes Chesterfields and wears cheap suits. Maybe he calls on the man... no, never mind. I'm sorry. Hey, look, all right. Hey, come on. I'm a human being, you know?
Well, I think that's the ultimate proof that he does that program live as he sort of collapses in a heap at the end of it there. That's The Grease Man on American radio, and that's one of the two most popular programs on American radio at the moment in the ratings. The other one is Howard Stern, who we've also heard on this program, and we'll probably round off our little series of American radio shock jocks with Howard Stern in the next week or two. And that was that. Now, Clockwork Wireless, our little competition, as I was telling you a little bit earlier on, the first prize can be an album of your choice and a copy of the Weekly World News, which, again, for new listeners, you're probably wondering what the Heck is he on about now? It's a little newspaper we feature from time to time, published in America, that does a roundup of the strangest stories from the previous week that you could possibly imagine. In fact, we were due to have a look at one this week, but it's been a little bit delayed coming, so we're going to look at the Weekly World News next week. But we have got an able substitute, and I'll come to that in a little while. As I say, a copy of the Weekly World News and a copy for a couple of runners-up as well, so it's well worth entering. And the question that you have to answer to win this competition is the question, what is the name of Oliver North's ex-secretary who's recently been giving evidence to the Arms for Iran inquiry in America? So if you know the answer to that question, what is the name of Oliver North's ex-secretary who's recently been giving evidence to the Arms for Iran inquiry in America, blonde lady, you've probably seen her on the TV. Right to Clockwork Wireless, Suite 14, Creasy House, Tower Bridge Road, London, SE1 4SL. I'll put Terry's competition or something on it so we know what it's all about. And you could win an album of your choice.
up the town, boys. Call all the heroes.
Call it all the heroes. It's It Bites. Ouch. Calling all the heroes, 12-inch mix of that. I don't know whatever happened to them, actually. Disappeared without trace. It's Clockwork Wireless on 90 FM. And as I say, we have no weekly world news this week. Unfortunately delayed in arriving, though. I'm sure that it'll be with me in the next day or two. And several people have written in asking if they can get hold of copies of this and so on. And I will be sending copies to people who have already asked. But if you want to know more about the paper, if you've heard us talking about it in the past, if you write in, I'll give you the address in America that you can write to subscribe to it. That's probably the best way to do it. Now, as I say, we haven't got a copy of it this week. We'll have one next week. But we have an able substitute in Christopher Logue's True Stories from this week's Private Eye, which they publish weird stories that are sent in by readers, originally published in the national, international or local press. And there's a strange old one here from the Peterborough Evening Chronicle originally, and it reads, just before he was to be interviewed on TVAM, Mr. Johnny Guide, who claimed to have spent the last 17 years of his life as a senseless zombie, and in fact you can see why it's on TVAM, he was wheeled from the studios and left to make his own way back to Peterborough because Mrs. Glanis Runner phoned in and said she was watching the television when she saw Johnny's face come up and heard the announcement about his living in a coma for all these years. And she said, I knew there was some mistake because he's been running a sports shop three doors from our house and conducts a Keep Fit class at the weekends. And she got this from watching the programme. I actually thought nobody watched TVAM. But one of my favourites, another one of these ecumenical figures who seem to be splashed across the papers these days, in order to swell his congregation, the Reverend Alfred Winstone of Eastchester has devised an autobiographical performance called Over a Daisy. As his wife recites the facts of his life, the Reverend Winstone, dressed either as Widow Twankey or as the Good Fairy, sings and dances while accompanying himself on the concertina. It's an extraordinary fellow. I'm sure that'll go down a bomb at the General Synod. We'll have a couple more stories on that in a moment. You may think that doing voiceovers for radio commercials is money for old rope, but here are a couple of examples when it all became a bit too much for all those involved.
Think of it as a job application.
I think you need PSI.
PS what?
Personal. That is so dreadful to see.
We have all you or a 20th century Dick Whittington could possibly need. Every day is business opportunity day at the bargain. Every day is business opportunity day at the barbecue.
Oh, going too fast. Anyone who can say opportunity day at the Barbican Exhibition Centre, Golden Lane, at that speed.
Can I just recover? I've lost my characterisation.
Probably lost his career too, I should think. A few weeks ago, we played a track by a chap called Steinsky. That was unanimously decreed to be in poor taste as it dealt with the assassination of President Kennedy and making a musical montage out of it, in fact. it sounds worse describing it than the actual record. Tonight, Steinsky makes his return to Clockwork Wireless, this time far more tastefully. This chap Steinsky, in fact, is, I believe, a copywriter with a New York advertisement agency, and he came to fame by entering a competition on a New York radio station, and they wanted people to produce a cassette of how they envisaged music would be in the 1990s. Well, Steinsky won the competition and has now developed his style into something of an art form of contemporary times. And I was thinking when I was planning on playing this, that famous quotation of Oscar Wilde, "Nothing is so dangerous as being too modern. One is apt to grow old-fashioned quite suddenly." Anyway, judge for yourself as Steinsky looks at his own world of advertising with a musical collage of ads and radio bites cut up and jumbled around. In fact, you may notice if you watch that thing on Channel 4 on Sunday lunchtime called Network 7, they use part of this in their opening titles. Anyway, we'll be right back after this word.
We'll be right back after this
word, word, word.
Word. alacrity too. Television! It's so fresh.
Look at that shine.
Look at that shine.
Look at that shine.
Oh, yes.
Lemon.
Chicken.
Liver.
With fluoride.
Gee, Mom, can I have some more?
Time after time after time. Time after time after time.
Just the way you like it.
10% real fruit juices.
You're soaking in it.
Time after time after time.
You won't believe it.
We're doing it.
We'll be right back.
We'll be right back. Right back. Right back.
100% of your minimum daily requirement.
We'll be right back. Right back. Right back.
Part of this nutritious breakfast.
We'll be right back. Right back. Right back.
And it tastes great too.
It's fresh.
Absolutely brilliant, in my opinion. Steinsky and Mass Media. We'll be right back after this word. And that's available on 4th and Broadway, if you're interested, the label. And that was actually American 12-inch mix. But I think you can still get it over here. Tremendous stuff. Steinsky and Mass Media. We'll be right back after this word. Clockwork Wireless, 90 FM, Intrepid Birdman coming up in a little while. Stick around for that. But back now to Christopher Logue's True Stories in this week's Private Eye. I've saved the best two for last. This one from the Sri Lankan Sun. Crossed in unrequited love, Mr. Anoma Nahuma, a trainee accountant from Kalobawila, decided to end his life while on a visit to the Dehawila Zoo, saying farewell to the party of friends with whom he was admiring the animals. Mr. Nahuma jumped over the wall surrounding the lion's pit and landed on Suma, an elderly lion, breaking its neck. Sema, Suma's companion, ignored the intruder, who was led weeping from the pit by two keepers, a sort of case of into the lion's den and, well, and then out again, really. And from the Western Morning News, my absolute favourite of all this week, Mr. Alan Nance, the pioneer of spiritual medicine from St. Austell, has died after tripping over his healing stool. A sort of case of physician, heal thyself there. And he didn't. For our next example of making a crisis out of a drama, we turn to television and the simple pasteurised life of Dixon of Dock Green. Or should that be Doxon of Dick Green?
Stand there, get...
I haven't got it, Mr. Nolan.
Now listen, Weasel, if I don't get that necklace back right now, they'll never be able to put you together again.
I ain't got it. It's down at Dock Green Dick.
The Nick.
The Nick, yes, sorry. Why they write scripts like this, for Christ's sake? Stop laughing.
Now don't just stand there, get...
I haven't got it, Mr. Nolan.
Now listen, Weasel, if I don't get that necklace right now, they'll never be able to put you together again.
But I haven't got it. It's down at Dick Green Dock. Oh, shit!
I can't help it! I can't help it!
What is it called?
Dock Green Nick.
Dock Green Nick.
Come on, look, hurry. Quiet.
Dock Green Nick.
Very quiet.
Can't I just say it's down at the Nick?
In a word, no.
Giant steps are what you take walking on the moon. I hope my leg don't break walking on the moon. We could walk forever walking on the moon. We could be together
It's the Police. On the Regatta de Blanc album, Walking on the Moon, before that, Dachshund of Dick Green. I'm going to have to stop watching Crime Watch on TV, thinking of Police Matters there. I'm going to just have to stop watching it. I'm getting a real complex about it. I mean, every time they put up a photo fit of someone who can help them with their inquiries, so to speak, I get this awful feeling that the photo fit looks just like me, even though I'm the most law-abiding person you could find. Perhaps I've got the ultimate photo fit face. I don't know. There was an interesting report, again on TV, talking of on the media show on Channel 4 the other day, regarding the importance of radio in Nicaragua. And there was an interview with an endearing little fellow about 9 years old who said he liked the romantic songs on the radio because his principal interest in life seemed to be girls. But I have a friend who's a journalist, and she was sent to cover a story in Nicaragua last year. And she told me that the most popular song that was constantly being played on the radio was New Order's Blue Monday, with Susie and the Banshees and U2 close runners-up. Bizarre. Well, let me just tell you this. That's our mailing address. Clockwork Wireless, Suite 14, Creasy House, Tower Bridge Road, London, SE14SL. A couple more people who wrote to us this week. There was Louise Morton of London Road, Twickenham. She wrote in asking about the weekly world news and so on. It's nice to hear from you, Louise. And Brian Brockwell of Highgate, and some very kind comments from Brian. So thank you for writing in. Let me tell you for the last time the competition again, in case you missed it earlier on or you weren't quite sure what I was waffling on about. The competition was, the question was, what is the name of Oliver North's ex-secretary who has been recently giving evidence to the Arms for Iran inquiry in Washington? If you can tell me that lady's name. As I said, she's this blonde lady, rather photogenic, consequently being featured in many papers and TV programmes lately. First prize, an album of your choice, and a copy of the Weekly World News. And if you're still wondering what the hell I'm about this Weekly World News, you'll have to listen next week when we will feature it once again, and a couple of copies for the runners-up. And don't forget to say which album you'd like if you do win, and print it quite clearly, and also print your name and address quite clearly if you could as well, so we get that right as well. Name of Oliver North's ex-secretary, and the address is Anderson's Competition, Terence Anthony Anderson, Clockwork Wireless, Suite 14, Creasy House, Tower Bridge Road, London, and that all-important postcode, so they tell us, is SE14SL. Well, look who's here with a slice of toast in his hand.
Hello, Terence. Yes.
And a dodgy ear.
We just finished off the Sunday joint. We put that out.
And now
we've started on the Sunday tea. It's jolly super, isn't it?
But let's hear now exclusively what is going to be happening in the next hour on Clockwork Wireless 90 FM.
Yes, well, this week we're looking at interstellar transport, that's travel between the stars, for those of you who don't have a degree in things very clever. We're going to be going live at one point this evening to the British interstellar space attempt with Alf Puck and our science correspondent, Boris Doppelganger, who, as you may have heard last week, is also an expert on horror film makeup.
Yes, he's got quite a wide brief, hasn't he, really? Yes, I hear.
He does get about, yes. Yeah.
And that's all coming up on 90 FM with the Intrepid Birdman, shortly. Well, being a self-proclaimed expert on the works of P.G. Woodhouse, it was inevitable that I paid a visit to the Wyndham Theatre this week to see Jeeves in Charge. It's Edward Duke's lively one-man show in which he changes character with an effortless ease. I can't actually recommend you go and see it because it's finished its run, but it's a timely reminder to positively recommend P.G. Woodhouse books to you, ideal holiday reading, or to refresh your brain if you search vainly for a modern writer to amuse you. But finally, I heard a report that Bernie Winter's dog Schnorbitz died this week, which is a shame. But mind you, his actor's been dead for years, so I suppose he can bury the dog alongside it. stand by. Coming up, the Intrepid Birdman. I hope you can join me next week. Goodbye from me.
A remarkable performance.
Well, that was a performance.